We are in a message series through this Advent called Untangling Christmas, because we are trying to untangle ourselves from the things that this season sort of invites us into that rob us away from what God and Christ truly have for us. Last week, we considered the hope of Christmas and the Savior being born, and Pastor Micah introduced the idea of untangling hope from optimism, you know, just wishing that things would work out rather than putting our hope in someone, Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of prophecy and secures our hope. And we are in need today of hope as well as peace that we will discuss this week, and joy and love in Christ himself. The title of the message today is Untangling Peace from Perfection. Because every holiday season is an invitation to perfection. I see the way you're looking at me, Brian. You're not really sure. It's an invitation to perfection. So how many folks out here listen to Christmas music before Thanksgiving? You are before Thanksgiving. Okay, not very many people in this service. So that means the rest of you are like after Thanksgiving Christmas music. Okay, shaking the head. All right. For how many of you, it was a little unsettling that we sang Oh Holy Night not on Christmas Eve? Yeah, everybody's like, why are we singing Oh Holy Night? It's not holy yet, you know? We're still in the unholy nights. Don't bring me to the holy night just yet. I still got some things to do before we get holy. But so there's music that you're comfortable listening to before Thanksgiving, and music, you know, after Thanksgiving, you kind of make that shift. All right. How many of you put up your Christmas tree before Thanksgiving? You are before. I love y'all. Yes. Maximize them tree. So that means the rest of you are after Thanksgiving. You're a post-Thanksgiving Christmas tree, folks. All right. All right. Christmas Eve. Who said Christmas Eve? Dog. Wow. Bob was like, why waste time, you know? Christmas Eve. All right, here's another one. How many of you are real Christmas tree people? Real Christmas tree? All right, fake Christmas tree? Wow! Are y'all even saved? Did you? Yours comes out the box with lights on it. Wow. Lights and ornaments. Oh, man, I don't know if y'all folks are saved at all. For real. All of this is to set up, right? Like, what is the perfect Christmas? I want the perfect song playlist. I want the perfect tree. I want the perfect dinner. Okay, do you all do pictures for Christmas too? Your whole, you know, you and your dog and your bird, and, you know, y'all get together. And they, let's get them dressed up together, get the doll dressed up, you know, like me. And do y'all do that? And show them y'all do. Okay, y'all are going to get a Christmas, you know, picture, you know, from my family, because we had to have the perfect Christmas picture. Which I know, you know, like, why we do this to ourselves, Zoe? This is not right. So I'm like trying to get Shala's vision. I've got all these different colors for this kid and this kid. I'm like, this doesn't match. What's the vision of this photo? And of course, I don't have any say in what the vision is, you know, as the husband, father, who evidently don't know how to dress. You know what I'm saying? So I go to the store and like, all right, I'm gonna find something for us, and I'm taking pictures like, ooh, this is fly. And George, I was putting the outfit together, and she was just like, that's not the vision. I was like, well, what is the vision? Are we plaids? Are we solid? Are we bright? Are we mute? Like, what are we doing? I got nothing. And so we just put something together, and you know, maybe it's the perfect picture. Because Shala, like, set all this stuff up. You know, I'm not going to put all her business out on the street, but she went to Target and bought stuff to set it all up. And then Cora had opinions, and everybody had opinions. But my opinion didn't matter. And it's like, fine, just tell me where to show up, okay? Amen. I've learned. Because we want the perfect picture, too. But, beloved, life is far from perfect. But every holiday season, we project perfection.
Like, if you want to have not just the card, Tammy, you're going to write the letter to go with the card, too. How great was the year? And we went to Mauritius with to go see Grandma. And, you know, Terry got a new house, and it's wonderful. And all the letter writing is projected to be, not that you're perfect or trying to be perfect, Tammy, but, you know, that's kind of what we do. And we get wrapped up into it. And when it doesn't happen perfectly, we lose our peace. We lose our stuff. We just lose it. But that was never the peace that God had for us. This perfect picture, this perfect playlist, this perfect letter that shows how wonderful things were. And the Advent story is far from perfect. If you would have any postcards from the first Advent story, it would not be pretty. And that is the beauty of the gospel, is that it's not pretty, is that it is messy. But when we try to tangle ourselves or get ourselves tangled up in the perfection of this idea that we're fed year after year and that actually spurs and turns within us, we get lost to the idea that Christ really has to offer to us, his perfect peace. So let's look at this angelic proclamation of peace from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. You can read right along with me and stay seated. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." This is the word of the Lord. And the people said, "Thanks be to God." Let this word fill our minds and flow from our mouths and free our hearts to live as the beloved children of God. Now, if you are taking notes, the main idea of the message today in two sentences is this: true peace isn't found in perfection, but in resting in the presence and promise of Jesus. The peace Jesus offers transcends our need for control and allows us to embrace imperfection with grace. I'll read it again for those who are slow to hear. True peace isn't found in perfection, but in resting in the presence and promises of Jesus. The peace Jesus offers transcends our need for control and allows us to embrace imperfection with grace. Notice the scene. The shepherds are out in the field doing their shepherding thing, and an angel shows up to give this proclamation. Now, this doesn't strike us as particularly odd today because is anybody a shepherd? No. Been around some shepherds, maybe some farm people, but we don't really identify with the shepherds. These were the lowest of the community. And nobody really wanted to become a shepherd. When you took your high school test and it told you what you were going to be when you grow up and you got shepherd, you were not excited about it. Shepherd, daggone it, man, I really wanted to be a carpenter. No, you did not want to be a shepherd because you got to hang out with the animals all day. You got to be out in the elements all day, and you began to smell like the outdoors and the elements and the animals, and no one really wanted to be around you. You had the occupation of isolation, of being out in the field by yourselves. And yet, it is the shepherds, the lowest of the community, who receive this proclamation. Now, if you were to give an announcement of the Savior of the world being born, Lizzie, who would you go to? Like, who would you tell? Who would be the first group of people that you would tell? You most likely would look for some social media influencer, somebody who's got a broad network that you can tell, and you know it's going to go to thousands or tens of thousands or millions of people. We're going to get the celebrity group, or we're going to get the most qualified religious group, because they would understand like what this means. You probably wouldn't go to the poor folk. You probably wouldn't go to the most marginalized in the society or the community. You wouldn't go to those who had a low reputation. And yet, if you snap the postcard of their Christmas holiday celebration, you would see these shepherds, but you wouldn't smell how funky they were. You would see that they were a little bit, you know, unkept, but you wouldn't see how that unkeptness kept them isolated from the community. And this would be Christmas 2024. Check us out. The shepherds. No one expected the shepherds because they were of low estate. In his commentary on Luke, theologian Daryl Bach emphasizes that the angelic announcement to the shepherds underscores the inclusive nature of the Prince of Peace. That when Jesus is announced to these shepherds, who are often marginalized in society, yet they are chosen to be the first to receive the proclamation of Jesus's birth. This highlights that God's salvation extends to all people, regardless of status and regardless of messiness. Isn't that beautiful? That regardless of the messiness of the shepherds, they could still receive the proclamation that Jesus Christ is born and salvation has come to all. That in the midst of the messiness, when things weren't all put together, when things aren't just so-so, when things don't look like they're ready to be put in the mail and have everybody see them, the shepherds, the messy ones, received the proclamation that Jesus is here and has shown up. And I wonder if there's any messy folk in the building today. Are there any people who don't got it all together today? Are there anybody who you would rather don't pay attention to me? I'm just going to stay out here in the field for a little bit. But you are exactly the one that Jesus is looking for to announce that joy and peace has come in the midst of your messiness. You don't have to wait to get picture perfect, beloved, to receive the proclamation that Jesus is here and Jesus is for you. You don't have to wait until you get your hair done and your nails did. You don't have to wait until your outfit is right. You have to just be open to receive that the proclamation has come to you. You see, in our modern Christmas ideal for a perfect peace reflects our deeper longing for control and order. That's what we hope for in the ideal of perfection. And when it doesn't happen, it reveals how much you wanted to have control. It reveals how much you wanted everything to just go right. But the result is that it creates anxiety and busyness and unrest, and leaves little room for the peace that Jesus has to offer. These are the folk running around with their head cut off to find the perfect tree, to go through the perfect Christmas gift list on Christmas Eve. Hello, somebody. Try my hand. And will do everything they can to make it just so. And it's when things don't go our way, it reveals what's underneath the desire for perfection, the hunger for control, the restlessness that we have. And so we keep busy filling ourselves with other things. This pursuit, beloved, of perfection leads us to measure peace by all kinds of external circumstances, but only reminds us of how flaw-filled the holiday season is. We look for the flawless holiday season. Turn to your neighbor and tell them it don't exist. It don't exist. These ideals, they are fragile. They are disrupted by the reality of life that we have broken relationships. You ever heard about the holidays being called hard days, when family can't come into town because you don't want them there? How long is your stay? Oh, you can come, but we don't have a bed for you, so you're going to be staying at a hotel, right? Broken relationships. Unexpected challenges. It is uncanny how, I should have looked this up, how many people lose jobs around the holidays or have job changes around the holidays. Like, talk about one of the most stressful times of the year. But then things are changing. Boom, boom. Job change. Or how common it is for death to happen around the holidays or diagnoses of sicknesses. It all reminds us that life is not perfect. It is filled with mess and chaos. It is filled with things that are beyond our control. All the more reason why we need an angel of the Lord to come speak to us and give us a word that Jesus is here. All the more reason why we need an angel of the Lord to come visit us while we are in the midst of our mess to say, hey, Jesus is here to join you in the midst of your messiness and has not let you go. All the more reason we need a word from the Lord, because the peace that the world has to offer is not the kind of peace that Jesus wants for us. You know how strange this scenario is, again, that peace would be announced to some shepherds and not to some gladiators. That peace is announced to some shepherds and not to some politicians who would try to wield it through government. Peace is announced to some shepherds and not some preachers who would try to gloss over the uncomfortable reality that we sit in tension right now until the Lord comes to make it all right. He came to some shepherds who knew how to keep it real. Are there any shepherds who know how to keep it real in here? Huh? Lord, don't come to the preachers. Don't come to the politicians. Don't come to the gladiators. Don't go to the businessmen. Go to the people who are able to keep it real. In the midst of this, what ought to be coming to mind is that very famous passage of scripture, Dan, from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7, where Paul says these words, "Do not be anxious about anything." Bruh, what you talking about? "But in every situation." Now you, the scribe messed up. You didn't mean every situation, I'm sure. Yeah, there's some situations I can't be, you know, not anxious about. It says, it goes on, by prayer, by petition, by thanksgiving, present your request to God. For what? Well, he tells you, Holly. "Then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." I wish we could take this and kind of flip it. Like, hey, I don't have peace in my heart and my mind.
Well, go back to the first part of the verse. Are you still anxious? Have you prayed? Have you continued to petition the Lord? Have you found the place of thanksgiving and gratitude? Have you made the request to God? Like, oftentimes we don't have peace because we haven't gone through the steps and the practices that we've been invited to in order to receive our peace. And Paul writes this from where, Pastor Grant?
Shout it out loud for the back people, not the black people, but the people in the back. Prison. He's writing this, Kobe, from a jail cell. I'm keeping it real today, James. He's not writing from the picture perfect place. So his Christmas card, 2024, he is in prison and in chains talking about the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds. He's writing from a difficult situation, Noah. I know you're a senior in high school and all is like so wonderful, but there's some difficulty in there for you, young man. Are you able to find the peace of God in the midst of that difficulty? Reddick, I know you're in the 10th grade and all is well, but there are probably some challenges you're facing even as a 10th grader. Do you know that the peace of God is available to you right where you are? If I were to tell you, Chris, what peace is all about, I'd say this. Peace is not the absence of problems, but it is the presence of Christ guarding our hearts and our minds. That's what peace is. That the circumstances may not change, but the circumstances don't determine my peace. My peace determines how I see my circumstances. The circumstances, though they may not change, they don't impact the way my peace is in the Lord, because my peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday. Finish it for me. Today and, oh, I thought it said forever. But it's today, yesterday, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, next decade, next millennia. Jesus, peace is available and is for you and is with you. Peace is not the absence of problems and chaos and difficulty. And this kind of peace that Jesus offers does not ignore the reality of our struggle, doesn't ignore the difficulties that we face. It's there to sustain us through them, Michael. It's there to sustain us through the difficulties and hardships. Then when you face the uncertainty, when you face the loss, when you face the conflicts, the presence of Christ reorients our perspective to obtain his peace. I do not like being on the open waters. I have never been on a cruise, and by the grace of God, I will never go on a cruise. But on my honeymoon, I went on this little catamaran thing, and I thought that I could handle it, and I could not handle the catamaran because the thing was just, you know, rocking and moving and stuff like that. And then if it got a little bit windy and the waves are coming and knocking, I'm just thinking, it's going to take this catamaran out. And even when we stop and we're supposed to jump in the water and do the snorkeling thing, and I can't touch the bottom, not just because I'm 5 foot, you know, five, but just because it's a little too deep down there. And the coral, you don't want to mess up the natural beauty of the coral. It's just unsettling. And then they dropped this little anchor, and the anchor kept the catamaran stable in the midst of the rockiness of the waves or whatever the wind was doing that day. It kept it stable. And that is what it is to have an anchor in the Lord Jesus, that despite the winds and the waves coming to knock your ship around, or the waves and the wind that is blowing you off track, there is an anchor that will keep you stable. And that is what it is to have an anchor in the peace of God, that despite what the circumstances are, you can make it through. Does anybody need an anchor in Jesus? That is the peace that he has to offer, but it is a process. So let me give you some steps. Let me give you some encouragement. But the steps are really to talk to the inside of you, not the outside of you. It's to talk to the inside of you, not the outside of you. So turn your outside off and turn your inside in. On something. Turn it on. Let's not be turned on too much. All right, let's go. All right, so the peace that God has to give you, Paul says, comes when you pray. So my encouragement is to pray. And this is what prayer does. My mind, the first thing prayer does is it releases control. Prayer releases control. Some of you haven't prayed because you still want control. Some of you haven't prayed because you know when you pray, you got to release control. You got to let go of that thing. Some of you haven't prayed because you still believe that you are strong enough to control it on your own. Some of y'all haven't prayed just because you're stubborn. Tell your neighbor, stop being stubborn. Just stop it. Just stop it. Stop it. What prayer does is it releases control. It says, Lord, this is bigger than me. Lord, this is heavier than me. It says, Lord, I am doing all I can to trust you with something that I thought I can handle on my own. I am releasing control. That's what you do when you pray. When you pray, you release control. It is the practical step of giving to the Lord, Aubrey, what belongs to the Lord. When the angel comes and announces, I got some good news for you, the first thing the angel says to the shepherds is what? Don't be afraid. They were afraid. And some of us don't go to God. Some of us don't want to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit because there is a fear that we might have to let go of some things. There is a fear that things may not work out the way we want them to work out. There's a fear that we might not get over the things that we won't get over. And that's why prayer is the second thing. It reveals our emotions. Not only does it release control, it reveals emotions. Now listen, the Bible says that the Lord knows the number of hairs on your head. So why wouldn't we just tell the Lord everything about us? Now, for some of us, that doesn't mean a whole lot, Bobby, but Bob Borghese over there, because he don't have much hair on his head. But nevertheless, on his body, there is a whole lot of hair. What he's missing on top is everywhere. If you went to the man camp, usually a man's retreat, you found out how much. If there was a case for evolution, there was Bob. I'm just. Keep going. All right. Bring it back. Bring it back. Prayer. Pray for me, Adrian. Help me out here. Help me out. Bring him back. Prayer. Okay, he knows the number of hairs on your head, right? He knows all about you. He knows all. The Lord knows all about you. So why wouldn't you tell the Lord everything about you? The Lord knows everything about you. Why are we trying to keep hidden from the Lord what the Lord already knows? In prayer, we release control, but we also release our emotions. And the Lord is not scared of any one of your emotions, Noah Shaw. He knows them all. He knows the good ones. He knows the ones that you call bad. He knows the ones that you think are acceptable and the ones that are not acceptable. The Lord knows all of the emotions, Jennifer. He knows all of them. And so when you pray, reveal all of your emotions to the Lord. God, I don't like this. God, I love this. God, I am not comfortable with this. God, this is all right with me. Like, let all of the emotions out to the Lord because the Lord knows all of your emotions. This release opens the door for peace to enter. It's hard for us to have peace when we're holding on to feelings of anger and hatred and resentment, rather than releasing those to the Lord in our prayer. And then last thing, prayer changes perspective. It releases control. It reveals emotions. It changes perspective. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 118, 5-6. When I was hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. The psalmist is honest. When I was hard pressed, what did the psalmist do? Figured it out on his own. No. Cried to the Lord. Real men cry, brothers. When you're hard pressed, cry. If maybe you come from a cultural tradition where you're not permitted to cry, where crying is not valued. Beloved, I want you to know that you can be free from that tradition and you can cry to the Lord. Cry out to God. If it needs to be one of them ugly cries where you got the snot running down your nose and you can't pull it together, Michelle, make it one of those cries. Cry out to the Lord. A way of releasing. But look at what the Lord does. Brings you into a spacious place. Gives you some space for you to deal with all of that emotion. Gives you some space, James, for you to deal with that uncomfortability, the questions, the wrestling. Gives you the space. He brings you into a spacious place. He said, hey, you got all of this room right here. You got all of this room. Just go ahead. Go ahead and be free. Go ahead and let it out. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's all right. And then it's all right because, say this with me, y'all. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. It's not a picture-perfect holiday. And the Lord's like, I know. I know. I got something for that. If you come and be with me. So as we wrap up the message today, let's look at how the shepherds responded to this announcement. Read along with me, beginning at verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let's go see." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The angel comes, gives an announcement. But as if that wasn't enough, a whole host of angels come. How many is a host? A lot. A lot. They came and they gave an even bigger announcement. Joy and peace is available to everybody, and this is where you can find it.
It will be in a manger on some straw, surrounded by some stinky animals. And the application for me, Micah, is this.
These shepherds who thought they were so unworthy don't just get an announcement, but they get a picture of someone just like them. Born in mess, surrounded by mess, in a messy situation. The Savior of the world is not on a throne through some royal lineage that everybody can predict, but is going to come through a teenage girl who has not been with anyone and born in a manger, surrounded by some messy animals and stinky. Mary's Christmas card in 2024, surrounded by stank, and the peace of God is still with me. Surrounded by mess, and I've got everything I need in this baby named Jesus. All my circumstances haven't changed, but I still got Jesus. The people are still going to talk about me for being so young, but I still got Jesus. The government is still oppressive, but I still got Jesus. I'm giving birth to this baby in the littlest town in Bethlehem that nobody likes and despises, and yet and still, I've got the peace of Jesus in my life. Beloved, in the midst of conflict, Jesus's peace is here. In the midst of scarcity, Jesus' peace is here. In the midst of broken relationships, Jesus' peace is here. Say it with me. In the midst of grief and loss, Jesus' peace is here. In the midst of uncertainty and fear, Jesus' peace is here. What can you fill in the blank, beloved, in the midst of what? In the midst of what is happening in your life right now? You see, when you this thing about prayer and coming to the Lord in prayer, for some, it's just going to be an overnight change. Praise God. You released the control so easily. Good for you. Hallelujah. You were able to just have all of those emotions revealed, Elaine. Wow, good for you. You know how to pray, girl. And your circumstance, your perspective changed that quick, Lynn. Wow. But for the rest of us, that change is going to be incremental. For some of us, the peace is going to come immediately. But for others of us, it's going to be a gradual turn to peace. That's where the Lord gives us space. That's where the Lord gives us openness to where things aren't quite right yet. But I can't say it yet, Lord, in the midst of whatever, there is the peace of Jesus. But I'm going to declare it like it is so. And until I feel it on the inside of me, is there going to be some small incremental change? And I'll take the incremental change, Lord, as long as you are the one who's providing the space to find the peace for it. Is there anybody here today that needs that kind of peace? Beloved, this Christmas holiday season is an invitation to perfection. And I invite you to reject that perfection with the peace of God. The Lord needs the messy folk who recognize that Jesus was born in some mess too. So yeah, life ain't perfect, but in the midst of this imperfection, I can still have peace. Let us pray. Heavenly, most gracious Lord, we thank you for
this season that certainly does invite us to look at the story of Jesus' arrival afresh from new perspectives and even in our present day culture. While our reality is very different from the shepherds, there are still some likenesses, God, where we feel like we are so messy and unworthy of a word from the Lord. But Holy Spirit, I pray, the same Holy Spirit that gave me an angel one day to give me a word from the Lord, I pray that for every member here at Sanctuary. I pray for an angel to be released. Visit them in prayer. Visit them in their dreams. Visit them while they're just driving. And may they have a spiritual encounter with God where their peace can be found in you. Calm every fear. Soothe every anxiety. Make over every hardship and do it incrementally or do it overnight. Lord, we give you the right of way. However you want to do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.